5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. So I just don't understand. Like, so there's other schools like in the area where there's like teams that are like, so one of the teams is called like the Owls or something like that. And like, there's a Falcon and there's Eagles. Like, are people offended by the birds too? Are they going to change the name of the Owls? Is someone mad about the, is there like a, isn't there like, aren't there like endangered species that could be offended here?
I think we're kind of at the point where you name it, Scotty. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. You want to talk about animals, livestock, sports team names, you, right. Me, an apple, an orange, whatever it is. I think that we can find somebody right now who's offended by just about anything. So
like, you know, when they kill, the it is. So what do? They kill animals, right? And we eat them. Is that about right? Like, so they kill, like, steer and stuff, and they make steaks, right? So they, you know... That's got to be offending somebody. And then they kill chickens like nobody's business, right? And we're all eating the chicken. Aren't we barbecuing a bunch of chickens tomorrow? That's got to be offending somebody. That's got to shut it down. I mean, but remember, like, if you eat meat, you're a, you know, don't they, people, like, who was the chick? It was the, what's her name? The musician. She's famous from New York. Didn't she wear a meat outfit? What's her name? Lady Gaga, she dressed up in a giant piece of meat. She walked out at the Grammys, I think, in a suit made of steaks. And she was offended by beef eaters. We got to shut down these people eating beef. I mean, lettuce, a femme eating lettuce eaters, cake eaters. We're only going to have cake eaters and femmes that eat lettuce.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, Pharrell on the bench with you. John in Buffalo, let's get him on the bench.
The radio, but you're styling with that green screen, man. Let's go.
Yeah, it's not bad, right? Like, they really outdid themselves this time because I like it. I think it's pretty cool. It's funny, I was at the, I don't know if you saw the thing. I have a massive problem right now in my eye. I can't see. But, I went to the dentist today. I don't know. Did you see the clip of me at the dentist getting my mouth drilled? Did you see that, John, by any chance?
That just sounds like something I needed to avoid, but I haven't seen it yet, no.
Okay, well, so anyway, I'm at the dentist, and they're drilling my mouth, and the guy said, well, so what's the TV shows like? And I said, well, I said, I do want it 4 to 6. That's it looks like I'm in a penthouse in New York City. And then he's like, well, what's the other one? I said, I do the radio show at night and you can watch it on YouTube. And he said, oh, I can watch it. He goes, what does that look like? And I said, well, it's a giant ovula, like the back of my throat that you're looking at right now while you're drilling in my gums. And he said, what do you mean? I said, it's a giant ovula. My logo I don't even know, like the last, I think it's like 15 years, maybe 20 years. I've had this logo that you see, that ovula, that's what that is. That's allegedly the back of my throat, that big red thing with a dot at the top above the R. That's my ovula in the back of my throat. So I told my dentist today, I said, that's what I have. I have a radio show on TV that looks like a giant throat because of my voice. And usually when I go to the dentist, I'm pretty wild. Because I'm friends with the dentist, and I work out with his other partner. It's two dentists that share, I think it's actually three, that share this gigantic dentist firm, whatever you want to call it, practice. There's three of them, and they have this enormous, shop with like, you know, 1,000 patients at least. It's crazy, this place. It's like a hospital, but it's for just nothing but dentistry. And I go in there a couple times a year. And so when I go in, they all know obviously who I am and what I do, and they're all fans. And the dentist, I know his son from playing basketball. I know the other guy, the dentist from working out. He's a big weightlifter. I see him up there because I always do lift weights and for basketball, rebounding and stuff. I'm always banging weights. And that's how I know them all. So whenever I go in there, I usually put on a show for them because I figure if I'm going to sit in here and have someone drill in my mouth, and have that suction cup going in my mouth and a hose and, you know, there's spit flying everywhere and I'm gurgling and everything else, I might as well crack some jokes. So today I filmed the entire thing, and I, as the guy's drilling in my mouth, I filmed it and he let me, and I sent it to Sports Grid. I know the chick has the video of me, and then I did another one on Coast to Coast. We actually aired one of the clips of me getting my mouth drilled, and then I've done it before. Like I filmed live in for Howard Stern. I was in the delivery room and I filmed with Metallica playing. I was playing Creeping Death while my wife 34C gave birth in the delivery room. I filmed the entire thing and did play by play when they yanked a baby out of her. And then there was blood everywhere and placenta, and I was cutting umbilical cords, and I filmed the whole thing. And I did live play-by-play of it on Howard Stern's morning show, which I thought Howard got a big kick out of it. It was really funny. So I like to go, when I go to the doctor or dentist, usually when I get my prostate exam, I make a big scene in there cracking jokes while the guy's got his fist in my garage door. And then I do, like, when he goes in on me and he's like fully inside my garage door, I start like singing Cuyahoga, And then when I'm in the dentist chair today drilling the whole time, I went, I know that's all very exciting for you, John.
Well, with the money some of these dentists and doctors make, I don't think they really mind if you do anything, really. I'm like emptying my wallet if I want to get a tooth checked. But right. Anyway,
Hold on. I think he's slept with my wife at one point or another. I think that
every dentist has.
You know what I mean? Like when they were younger, I think that I've accused him of sleeping with my wife. She's hot. So I figure, you know, every guy that has ever met her tried to tap it. Right. So I figure, you know, the dentist probably she used to be a patient of his. Right. For like 15 years, she was a patient of his. And then all of a sudden I'm a patient of his and she's no longer a patient of his. I mean, I put two and two together. She quit going to him because she had to have slept with him. Right. I mean, honestly, it had to be that. I was like, I know you were sleeping with the dentist. And she's like, I never slept with the dentist. I'm like, yeah, you did.
That and the gym trainers, you got to be scared of if you have your one around there. Let me tell
right.
you.
Those gym. I know for a fact those gym trainers are sleazy. They're all gigolos. All of them.
Just ripped and ready for action whenever they run. Anyway, I just wanted to ask you about the NBA. So I wanted to. Kind of ask you, like, you got these cases popping up every day, and you got 10, you got 15, you got 5. Does Adam Silver have a set amount of cases or you know, staff that test positive for it, where he just says, you know what, we got to shut things down? Or is the money too good to even think about that?
Well, I think what you said at the end is what matters is the money. I think they're doing this whole thing for money. I think the NBA has lost hundreds of millions of dollars because of the shutdown and the COVID. And I think their coffers have been depleted immensely. I think that they will never admit their financial pitfalls and problems. But I think all sports, all leagues, NBA, NHL, MLB, NFL, college, NCAA, they've all lost tons of money. And I believe that the NBA knows that they have to go back and do this bubble run and get into the playoffs and have a postseason to garner that television network money. All the TV deals, whether it's, you know, ABC, ESPN, Turner, whatever the games are on, cable, network, or otherwise. Every device, streaming or otherwise, all of them, whatever entities they air on, they are going to go get that money because they've lost so much money. I don't believe for one minute. I think they put on a real nice act when it comes to, and I think at the same time, they are taking the COVID seriously. But I think it's kind of all an act at the end of the day to make everyone feel like, boy, the NBA sure has their bases covered. They've done an excellent job of handling the COVID and the protocols that need to be in place. They have a meticulous plan set in place. They've done a fantastic job. That's what they want to be perceived as. The league, Silver, and everyone, all the owners, they want to be perceived that they've got this all under control and they have it all figured out and planned out. When in the reality side of things is that I don't think they have a clue what's going to happen, how it's going to happen, how it's going to roll out, how it's going to succeed or fail. And I think at the end of the day, Carver High, tell me if I'm wrong. At the end of the day, all they want is the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. They don't care. I don't believe for one minute they care if anybody gets it. All they care about is getting that money, that TV money, because they're not filling arenas. They're not filling seats. There's no fans. So they have to make the money in TV or they're not going to make any money at all. And believe me, you, if they have TV games on, then they got all their sponsors rolling too. Because as long as the games are on TV, they'll run the commercials.
It's all about money. That's why all of them are playing. That goes for the NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball, PGA, UFC. Everybody that is still playing right now, they are playing for one reason only, money. Because if it was about safety, none of them would be playing.
Yeah. if they truly and utterly cared unequivocally about the COVID and about the pandemic, they would have canceled sports entirely for the entire 2020 year. The whole year, they canceled everything.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I saw today that, David Njoku wanted to be traded from the Cleveland Browns, right? And his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, has demanded a trade before the training camp starts, saying that... it's over. There's no decision to be made. Trade him. He's not playing for you. So let's get it on and let's make this happen. And I need to tell you, it took a matter of 5 minutes before he was going to be playing for the Cowboys. Do you ever see these stories that like these websites run where like if a guy is going to be traded or wants to be traded, literally within 10 minutes, he's going to 14 different teams.
But immediately, you always have to get the pulse of the Cowboys situation. Like, you immediately have to get Cowboys not interested. Cowboys, like, the whole world, the entire NFL revolves around that franchise. So whenever a guy comes up in trade discussions, it's, well, let's go talk to our people down in Dallas and find out if David Njoku, or find out if this guy, who's, you know, you can name anybody who's ever on the trade block. Let's go check in. Jamal Adams, David Njoku. Let's go run to Dallas and find out what they're thinking about it.
He's a perfect fit for Dallas. He's going to be.
Or everybody.
But how about this one? They always do this one too. Like, you know, the flyer has to be grabbed by the Packers on Njoku. The Packers have to be all in because they only have one receiver. They need another receiver. He's a tight end, but he can do a lot. Like, remember, everyone's going to the Packers. Everyone's going to the Cowboys. Oh my God, Dallas Cowboys.
You say all this stuff like they always pump it up for the Cowboys, or like you said, the Packers and stuff like that. And then you turn around and he gets traded to, you know, Arizona. You know, or he gets traded to, you know, he gets traded to Tennessee. You know, something like that, where there's no juice.
How about the fascination with, and this has been going on my whole life, is the fascination with the Oakland Raiders, who are now the Las Vegas Raiders. It's so funny to me, like the attention that they get for, and listen, I think they've had great years, Super Bowl winning years with Al Davis. I won't ever disrespect Al Davis. You know, I'm a fan. I liked the way he operated. I don't care what anybody says. That guy was just cutthroat and ruthless. He wanted to win at all costs. And he would just win, baby. And he meant it. And he had that Elvis style, too. Like, your boy just was a rock star. So, but my point is, you know, despite those years that they won it, which I respect, right, they get way too much attention. Way too much attention. They've been terrible. They have been an atrocity for about how long now? 20 years? I mean, honestly.
Yeah, 20 years. I mean, they had the 1 year, obviously, where they went to the Super Bowl, 03 or 04, and they got whacked by the Bucks and Gruden when Gruden went over to Tampa and beat him. But other than that, they have been absolutely useless or a non-factor in the league since then. But everybody loves to just continuously go back to
the silver and black and Al Davis and the NFL music playing in the background. Bump bada bump bada bump 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 bada bump bada bump. You know, and people just think of all those. And here comes the silver and black playing the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the, you know, it's just 1976.
When the wind swept through the plains.
Yeah, those days are long ago.
The December morning freezes the birds on top of your roof. The Raiders.
And honestly, Scott, has the Cowboys been any different?
No,
like honestly,
the Raiders, the Cowboys
they have not sniffed. A Super Bowl since the Steeler won in 30, right? Isn't that the last time they sniffed a Super Bowl?
But ESPN runs the Raiders and Cowboys down your throat like they're in the Super Bowl every year. They literally run the Cowboys down your throat. They have literally full-time reporters that cover them, like, and just continuously, like, sandbag us with just meaningless information. Like, honestly, at what point I stopped caring about Dak Prescott's contract like a month ago? I just don't even care if he ever plays again. I heard so much about Dak Prescott's deal and his contract negotiations and his tag. They even reported on the day that he signed his tag. They made that an international incident. Who cares anymore? I honestly... Like, if I tell you a story about going to Jerry's World and eating that fantastic popcorn that they have there, I mean, they just have the greatest popcorn. And I mean, they serve it in a Jerry's World replica stadium bowl. The thing is, the bowl is just the exact size of the stadium. It's like this, you know, it's just a giant plastic popcorn bowl made like the stadium. And I brought like two or three of them home. I have them right now in my house, these great Jerry's World popcorn bowls. Would it not be more entertaining me telling you about all the popcorn I ate there and the story of me being in the Jerry's World? I was the only, Mavi and I were the only people in the entire stadium, the only people there at all for that Spence fight or whatever the hell it was we were there for, right? We were there for, I think it was the Spence fight, and we were broadcasting from Jerry's World on CBS. We were the only people there. Proof, when the show ended at, I think it was 9 to 1 in the morning there. 1 in the morning, we couldn't get out of the building. You remember, Carver Hyde? They wouldn't let us. Not only could we not get out of the building, we couldn't get out of the parking lot either. We were trapped at Jerry's World. Is that not a true story? And it was so scary inside the stadium with all the lights off, because they only left like one light on. They left the light on in the room that we were in, right? That we were in this area behind, like, you know, like the suites or something. But it was like a, you know, an area back away from the stadium. So if you, when you walked into the stadium, you went through a glass door and down into suites, right? That's basically where we were. And they left the lights on there, but it was really creepy and dark and it was scary, right? And I'm not even kidding you when I told you the story on the air that Mafia had to like walk me to the bathroom because I wasn't going there by myself. I was like literally creeped out at Jerry's World. There was no one there. It was scary. It was dark. And I was like in the bathroom and there wasn't a soul around. And I was like, I was going to the bathroom. And I was like, man, this is scary as a mother for all right here. I'm telling you, I was like, I got to get out of here, man. This place is creeping me out. Like I was having bad intentions in that stadium. Now, is that not more exciting to hear about that I was afraid of ghosts in the Jerry's World and that I ate three bowls of Jerry's World popcorn in their giant plastic Jerry's World tubs and then I brought them home? I was locked in the stadium, locked in the parking lot. We were trapped at Jerry's World at 1 a.m. And then what was great was I think I had a Jaguar and Mavi knows, like, the difference was that your boy Spence drove 105 in his Ferrari, right? And he was drunk and he crashed. I drove 100 miles an hour in the Jaguar, but I was sober. And when I got on the freeway in Dallas, everyone drives 80 to 100 miles an hour, right? So I was driving 100 miles an hour in this Jag with Mafia. And Mafia's like, slow down. And I was like, shut up. We're going to drive fast here tonight, and we're going to be like cowboys. We're going to be like Errol Spence. We're just not going to drive drunk. We're going to drive 100, though. And is that not more exciting than hearing about Dak Prescott's holdouts and contract negotiations? And how many times has ESPN told you that he has till July 15th? I know what time of day the contract is voided.
We have it all down to the second.
I mean, I have heard so much about this guy, honestly, because they talk about Dallas so much and Dak Prescott so much on that channel. I can't even stand him now. I like hate him because of it, because they cram the Cowboys and Raiders down our throat. The Raiders suck. Stop acting like the Raiders matter at all. It's so funny to me. Now, I've told you their stadium's going to be the number one moneymaker in the league. I've told you they're going to have Super Bowls there. I've told you they're going to have Pro Bowls there. I've told you they're going to have Final Fours there. I told you they're going to have concerts there. It's going to be the greatest stadium in the league. The Raiders will be an absolute cash cow. I think they'll pass the Cowboys in 5 years as the number one moneymaker in the league. And I think the Rams and Chargers are going to make a boatload of money too at SoFi. But the reality of it is that the football team sucks. You know, they got the nice stadium. They got all the fans. They moved to Vegas. Everyone's excited. They got a billion-dollar practice facility out in the middle of the desert. They got a billion-dollar stadium built, and they got a 25-cent team. Am I wrong, Carver High? They got like a 25-cent team, but they got a billion-dollar stadium, and they got a billion-dollar practice facility. They got the greatest franchise in the world that sucks. They never win.
No, it's true, and they've been living off of the glory years for a long time, because just those two franchises, like I said, you look at them, the Raiders and the Cowboys, they have done absolutely zero in the NFL in the last 20 to 25 years. They've been, in terms of winning.
They give your team no love. No love. And meanwhile, they've been growing.
My team doesn't matter. My team doesn't have the glitz and the glory. My team is getting better, and my team is going to be a factor this year. They're not going to win the Super Bowl, but they're going to be better, and they're going to be a playoff team and all that stuff. But it doesn't matter, because they're not the Raiders or Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys. You got to remember, all these teams that built these enormous fan bases back in the, you know, in the 70s, you know, they still live off that. The Raiders, the Steelers, the Dolphins, the, you know, but some of them have been able to sustain it, and some of them have not. And it's just that simple.
So Carver High, just so here's a secret for all the fans. Carver High walks around in his, like, Bills winter jacket and everything in the middle of New York City in the winter. People throw snowballs at him and give him the finger. Carver High's got me on a mission from God right now. Let's see. I don't even think it'll come up.
I don't have you on a mission to anything. You're on your own mission right now. You have decided that this is something that you want to concern yourself with. It's not a big deal. It is what it is.
Right. So I'm looking right now, and trust me when I tell you, it's not happening. Okay, I looked right now. It is not happening.
I'm gonna check my.
You don't even have to check. I just did, and it's not happening. Okay.
So it doesn't exist.
It does not. It does not exist. So that's another just absolute crock of Shaq Diesel. Stirring the crock of Shaq.
Par for the course.
However, the course. All right, so that is definitely not happening. So that's another swing and a miss. But I did want to say, a couple other things about some sports topics with you before I get out of here tonight. Yes, it's very important before I get sued or fired, right? We don't want that to happen for anyone ever.
We don't need that at all.
We got enough problems. So anyway, here's the deal. The NHL somehow, some way, have gone ass backwards, because you know they're backward ass people to begin with. There's something about I'm telling you, there's something really fishy about these people. I don't understand. Explain to me, Carver High, how can you set up your it took them forever. I don't even care that they chose Edmonton and Toronto. It took them forever. It took so long to pick the cities to have the playoffs that I don't care anymore where they play.
Well, they had time. You know, they had time. They had a lot of time.
So whatever. All right, here. So here's my point. So they finally organized the entire thing. And now we know where they're going to play. And we know who's going. And we know who isn't. We have everything set up, right? And then they announce, what did they? A few people tested positive and blah, blah, blah. Here you go. So, but then they have the audacity to actually go backward. Like they're walking backwards drunk. Have you ever heard the old saying, if you were driving any slower, you'd be going backwards? Like when someone's in front of me in a car, you've driven with me and they're driving slow. I'm like, could you go any slower? Could you hit the speed limit even? Could you, like, have you ever gone behind a guy in a 35 and he's doing like 29 in the 35? And you're like, hey, brah, can you give me at least 35? Can you go the speed limit, right? So here's the NHL. They get everything set up, right? And then they decide they're going to have an argument about the CBA after they've set the entire thing up. Everyone's training, skating, practicing. There's, you know, they've phase one, phase two, they've all gone back to the rinks in, you know, droves and in separate times. Like, you know, you're allowed six at a time, whatever it is, right? They're out there skating, getting their legs, everything else. And then they decide one day, who was it? Panarin, bread fan, your boy, the bread man, Metallica bread fan. He came out and said, they got to get this escrow fixed. And then the next thing you knew, literally days later, it turned into a gigantic escrow argument with the NHLPA, with Donald Fehr against Gary and Bill, Bettman and Daly, and the league and the owners. Are they not at war now over a CBA deal they have not signed off on? They do not have a deal. They do not have a deal to go play hockey in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Is that true?
Look, they are. I talked to some people today about this.
Don't
they
lie to me.
They are very, very close. I don't think that this is going to be, this isn't going to be an issue. They have dates, tentative dates that, now look, once they ratify this thing and they agree on it, it's going to take 2 or 3 days for all the players to vote on it, which they expected it will pass. They have right now phase three targeted for July 13th would be training camps open. They have July 26th. Is when the teams would arrive in Toronto and Edmonton. They have August 1st for when the teams will actually start playing the qualifying round. They are not that far off of when we were saying. And a week ago, we were saying July 27th or 28th. So instead, we're moving it back 3 or 4 days because of how long this is going to take to get this agreement between the players and the owners. And the thing that Panarin brought up is, you know, they split revenues. You know, they have a different system than Major League Baseball. You know, Major League Baseball is fighting about something completely different. In the CBA and the NHL, the owners and the players are partners in the revenue. So that includes, obviously, there's not going to be any fans in the seats. There's not going to be any home games. And that revenue is usually split between the owners and the players. So the players are looking at the owners and they're going, okay, well, we know that money's not coming. So how are we getting paid here? Now, the good thing that they have going for them that baseball didn't is that they've already been paid for the season, you know, regular season. Right. They've been paid. You know, everybody, you know, they played pretty much their entire year, 75 games, 73 games, whatever it was, whereas baseball hadn't played a game yet, which is why it was a bigger issue for them.
So you mean like that? Fine. You mean that like $300 million bonuses and signings and everything else that went down the other day?
Yeah.
Was that enough to appease them and make it palatable for them? Is everybody happy?
Yeah, I mean, all those guys have that in their contracts, and that was part of the deal too. You know, normally all contracts end on June 30th, and July 1st is usually free agent frenzy in the NHL. Well, they had to figure that stuff out. What are we doing here? Well, now it's been moved to October. You know, your contract runs till October 15th or whatever the day is, and then November 1st is probably going to be the huge NHL free agent frenzy. So they've got this stuff figured out. I'm not really worried about it. I think the problem is just like it is with everybody else. Are they going to have too many guys come up positive that they're not going to be able to play? I think the money side of it and the CBA because they're also working on a CBA that's beyond this. You know, they're not just working on now coming
right,
back.
For
they're
6 years.
They're trying to hammer out something long term, which is why this maybe is taking a little longer. But I'm fully confident that this schedule that a couple people told me, and I saw Bob McKenzie tweeted as well, of July 13th, July 26th, August 1st, those three dates are the three to watch. And if they hit those three targets, we're going to have hockey. I think that the health side of it is what's going to keep us out of hockey.
All right, let's talk about something that matters. Your Cape Cod Open. All right, so the guy, the DeChambeau guy that's swinging and hitting the ball 360 yards off the tees. I mean, yeah. 370, 375. I mean, this guy is unleashing. Just he's hitting the golf ball, pounding it so hard, just absolutely shredding drives. Like, I can't get enough of it. Do you believe, because you haven't been golfing, but you do have the Cape Cod Open still on the agenda. It is on the calendar. It's still on the books. That everything else has been canceled. Your trip to Miami, the wedding, you were going to somewhere. You had a million things that were canceled. But the Cape Cod Open is still it's still on. So my question is this. You have not played golf, not once. Do you believe that it would be in your best interests, which I do? I'm gonna throw this out there right now. I'm voting yes for Carver High now swinging the golf club as hard as Bryson DeChambeau on every single tee shot. I think your goal should be to try to hit the golf ball 325 plus yards on every tee shot. And I think at the Cape Cod Open, you should, I think you should drink 1,000 beers and swing.
Well, I'll drink 1,000 beers. That's not a problem.
Swing for the fences. Cause when I went golfing with Haro, I have to tell you, I hit a couple of drives. He can't even deny it. I mean, I can hit the golf ball. I think I can hit a golf ball like clean 275 yards, right? Like clean. You know, you talk about 300, I can't do it. But I can hit a golf ball 275. I can. And I mean, I can really rip a golf ball. And I was swinging for the fences too. What they were making fun of me because they were like, you don't know, he's going to hit it far. Pharrell can really hit it big and up in the air. I get it sky high, like airplane height. But I mean, I am takeoff. But they're like, you don't know if it's going left, right, or middle. I have no idea where it's going because I set up for a fade, and I absolutely can go. I can go left. I can literally go left three holes over. And, I mean, I can hit a golf ball left like all the way into from Ohio to Illinois. I mean, I can hook one left like three state lines and cocaine, like over, you know, transferring cocaine over state lines. You're looking at 30 years to life. I had the whole thing going. I hit some balls 280, but they went completely left or completely right. I hit one 280, the best shot you ever seen in your life, and it ended up in water, right? It ended up in the lake and on like another hole, and I was like, I don't even care because I hit it so far. I'm glad it landed in the Farellon Lake but I shot a 90 or something, but I used to turn a 76. 76 is the best round I ever had in my life, and I had it with Mr. Big, Joe P, documented, witnessed at Indian Wells in Palm Springs. In the Bob Hope Mafia Classic, I shot a 76, documented, and I played great golf that day. And as they say, ran out of holes. But now I suck, and I'm like turning a 90, and I could turn a 95 too, just as easily. But my question to you is, going back to you, will you try to hit a golf ball 325 yards for me on every single tee shot?
I mean, I've let it go sometimes in the past, but honestly, I'm not good on the tee. Like, I'm a good iron player. I'm a good iron player. I'm a good short game player. I'm not good on the tee. I'm awful, actually. I go on the driving range, and they got those dopey mats that make you think you hit the ball 350 yards off of it. And then I go tee the ball up in a regular, you know, and it's just not the same. It's just not the same feel. So I'm better on the shorter side of it. Like, I'm just better hitting my irons. In fact, there's a lot of holes where I won't even hit driver. I'll hit. I'll hit a hybrid, or I'll hit a 5 or 4 or 5 iron, and I'll put it out there just because it's just a waste of time for me to hit my driver sometimes. And you're right. Now I don't play anymore. You know, you get a kid, you don't play. And Usually the only time of year that I play now is at the Cape Cod Irish Open, still tentatively scheduled for October the 24th, Championship Saturday. The green jacket, the whole deal up there that weekend. We'll see if it happens. Like you said, a lot of things have been taken already. I have the wedding in Dublin in August. That is off the boards now. That is not happening.
That's ruined.
I had the 40th birthday surprise trip that my wife was giving me, where I was going to go to South Bend for the first time in my life and see the Fighting Irish play there and go to Chicago to a Cub game. That is off the boards now. That is not happening. Miami is still hanging by a thread. Miami is Labor Day weekend. Of course, Cousin Sean's bachelor party. That is hanging by a thread. But as you see what is going on in Florida right now, we've got 7 weeks to see if that situation changes at all.
How is Sean not married yet? How old is that dude?
He's 2 years younger than me, so he just turned 38. So his wedding is now, and that is the last leg of what was supposed to be a big trip year for me. That is December in New Orleans, is Cousin Sean's wedding. The first weekend.
Has he been married before?
No, this is his first one.
So he was like a professional beer drinker before, and now he's actually settling down and getting married.
Well, he's actually been with this girl a long time.
Oh, so she hates him because he never married her. She already hates.
I don't know what the
She's
situation
like,
is.
This, we should have been married 8 years ago. What are you waiting for, you loser? And he's like, I'm waiting because cold beer is more important than getting married.
And that's the wedding where I am officiating the wedding. That's the wedding. Remember, we talked about this.
You're a minister. You're like Joel Osteen. You're a minister. Your boy Carver High runs the biggest church in the world. The minister, he'll marry you if you want. Just write us at Pharrell on Grid on Twitter, and we'll get you Carver High to navigate your wedding for you. What a dream that'll be. Well, I just want to say before I get out of here, I hope everybody has a great and safe 4th of Pharrell. I hope you have a blast with your friends, family, whoever. Stay safe. Wear a mask. Let off some M80s. Drink some shots and beer. Smoke a fatty. Everybody's cool and hang out. Have a great holiday weekend. I think ESPN should start working on their commercials. They might want to stop running the 251 Fight Island, selling the three championship fights, because let's bring Morenci in here. Sports Rage is next on Sports Grid Radio Overnights, coming up right here at the top of the hour. Morenci, this guy, bottom line is that your boy Gilbert Burns has tested positive for COVID and is out of the championship fight with Usman. So the three title fights now been pared down to two, because that great young fighter, Gilbert Burns, the Brazilian, he's out. He's got COVID.
Yeah, it sucks for him because he's really only really getting a title shot right now because of the timing, I think, Scotty. You know, the UFC has been ahead of the curve. Right now, you got to give them credit, but the state of Florida was also ahead of the curve as well, right? Remember, Ron DeSantis was puffing his chest about, oh, y'all said I couldn't do this, and, you know, you were all wrong. Here's the UFC right now, and I'm starting to think, you know, can everyone else go to Fight Island as well? Can we play the Major League Baseball season on Fight Island? Because I don't see how the hell you're going to fly around the skies, the not-so-friendly skies. What airline used to be? Remember the friendly skies? Yeah, the skies aren't very friendly right now, Scotty. What a train wreck this is. St. Louis Blues shut everything down today. Supposedly baseball starting in 3 weeks. Good luck with that.
Yeah, let me ask you. So they all flew to, I guess, today or something. They all boarded a flight to Abu Dhabi, but Usman did not get on the plane, and neither did Burns. That's a disaster. And Jimmy Johnson's got COVID, too, in NASCAR. It's just crazy. I love you, Morenci. Have a great holiday weekend, bro. Have a great show. Great job, Carver High. Good night, everybody. I'll see you Monday on Coast to Coast at 4.
The Omaha Steaks End of Season Sale is here to deliver everything you crave to reset after the holidays. From handcrafted USDA certified tender steaks to gourmet burgers, versatile chicken and pork, and more, you know exactly what you're getting. Premium lean protein that everyone loves. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their End of Season Sale.
And for an extra $35 off, use promo code AUDIO at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.